Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio online.
It's Live Paranormal,
and this is Haunted Playground. I'm your host, Sheena Metal. We're at liveparanormal.com and at hauntedplayground.com. This is the Haunted Playground radio show every single Wednesday at 6 o'clock Pacific time. I'm your host, Sheena Metal, and I gather the best, the brightest, and the most beautiful souls in the paranormal and spiritual communities, and we talk about all things spooky, scary, enlightening, evolving, and lovely. I'm at SheenaMetalSpiritual.com. I'm a psychic medium. I'm an interfaith minister, and I am the founder of RaisingTheVibration.org, a nonprofit movement of peace, love, kindness, and unity. I'm somebody that always thought that my spiritual gifts and talents would be done sort of on the down low as I worked in the entertainment industry, which I have since I was 4 years old. And then when my mother died, I literally got the message from spirit that now was the time to move forward and to come out of the closet, so to speak, as a psychic medium to get my nonprofit rolling. And part of that download from spirit was that I become a minister. And I had no idea how to be a minister, what that meant. I never wanted to be a minister. Even when all my friends were getting ordained to marry their gay friends, I never did. I never thought that was my path. And then after getting the message from spirit, I was doing a show live at the Hollywood Improv Comedy Club in Hollywood. And I kind of joked to some people sitting at a table with me after the show that spirit had told me to get ordained. And unbeknownst to me, the gentleman sitting two over from me was the president of American Trinity University. And he had been moved by what he had heard me say about the movement and the nonprofit from the stage during my show. And he offered to put me through the ordination process. And then I thought that was it. My ministry was RaisingTheVibration.org. That was the end of me as a minister. And then a friend of mine suggested, after seeing one of a gathering that I did for my nonprofit, that I talk to the folks at Metropolitan Community Church, which is one of my favorite denominations of all time. And a friend of mine who is a pastor there, a staff pastor there, had a radio show I was doing on a previous station, and I brought this gentleman, who's my guest today, Senior Pastor Keith Mazingo, on, and lo and behold, a couple of months later, thanks to some good deli food and a nice conversation, I too was on staff there as their interfaith pastor, and my monthly Saturday night spiritual service was born. An interesting thing has happened since I have been friends with this wonderful man, who I consider to be like my brother in spirit. I have become more Christian, have accepted a lot of my Christian roots, which were always very open and very mixed with metaphysics, because that's who my mother was. I think at the same time, and Keith will explain this, he's become more open spiritually. And that's the beauty of connecting with the souls in this world that you are meant to connect with what I like to call your soul pod, your soul family, or your soul tribe, that you know each other from before you come here. You come, you encounter each other as living incarnate beings on the earth, and just the touching and loving of your souls makes you both grow in a way that you never thought possible. And for me, it's to have embraced more the teachings of Christ, which was what my mother always wanted for me, and to incorporate that with my Eastern beliefs and my pagan beliefs and my spiritual beliefs, my New Age beliefs, and then for Keith to start to look beyond how he was raised. I just think it's a beautiful story, and I'm so glad he's here. Welcome to the show, my friend, everybody. Pastor Keith Mazingo, how are you, darling?
I'm doing just fine. How are you?
I'm amazing. I'm so thrilled to have you here and hear your voice. And isn't that an interesting story about us? And I decided when I knew I was going to have you on today that I really wanted that to be the basis of today's show, to start today's show off. The fact that you and I have influenced each other's spirituality just by being in each other's lives.
Absolutely. And I'm going to tell you, I'm just sitting here with a big old smile listening at that introduction and thinking of how far we both have come.
Yes.
Some before we met each other, and then I think part of it is you have given me, and maybe I've given you, I don't know, but I think you've given me vocabulary for things I didn't understand in the past, or I did not know how to articulate in the past, because I grew up in a very conservative, you know, fundamentalist, Pentecostal, holiness church in the South. I know that's hard for people to believe when they hear me talk that I'm from the South. But but you know, it's been amazing when you grow up and you start seeing other people of other faith, or people who don't have any particular faith, or maybe they claim to not have any faith at all, and you know that they're spiritual beings, and they know, you know that God created them just like God created you, and then you have to start wondering, wait a minute, is this absolute truth that I've been taught all of my life really so absolute? Maybe I need to investigate this a bit more.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's the truth, right? I mean, I think that the more you open up spiritually, the more you realize how under the umbrella of spirit, right, under the umbrella of God, source, goddess, whatever you want to call our higher power, everybody belongs and everybody's faith belongs as long as they're walking in the light. Everything that's part of the light
right.
has a place and belongs. And, you know, I'm guilty too, because I grew up, you know, Presbyterian, which I like to call Christian light. And my mother was sort of a closeted metaphysician. I didn't really know how metaphysical she was till I was in college, but she was always infusing metaphysical beliefs. And I don't even know that she knew really what it was, although she'd read a lot of Edgar Cayce. So she had, and had started to read a lot of Sylvia Brown. So I think she did know a little bit, but she wasn't talking about it. And when I moved to Orange County when I was 13, which is an hour south of Los Angeles, and it bragged it was the California Bible Belt, and it was very new age, you know, new thought evangelical, and very conservative, and very conservative politically and culturally and sociologically and spiritually, I became prejudiced towards words like God and Christian. And I didn't want to say those words, because to me that meant the oppressors, that meant those people. And then when
right.
I started doing my last radio show at the last place I worked 11 and something years ago, which was the most guest heavy I ever did, and I started interviewing a lot of people who were politically conservative, spiritually conservative, culturally conservative, and I really generally liked them as people. They were just very different. It made me think about expanding and opening up and being more of an accepting energy. And I honestly think that's what's gotten me through however many years of life, not only with the political and spiritual dissidents in our country, in the United States,
right.
but also just as a person. Who, you were the one who told me this last year when I first started doing services at Founders MCC, that when you, the more you open up spiritually, the more you start using words like psychic medium and minister, I like to say the more you step into the light, the more the darkness pays attention.
Right.
And suddenly
right.
you find that others that are not living a pure path spiritually kind of decide to get a little funky in your life. So I think staying very open is what kept me from just being very angry, because, you know, I'm a person too, as are you, and things make me angry like things make everybody angry.
Yeah, yeah.
So
absolutely.
For you, why don't you share with my folks, with my listeners, sort of how you grew up? Because I'm fascinated to know not only what you thought of spiritually, but because we are on the Live Paranormal channel right now, what your concept of what we think of as paranormal was. I mean, what did you think about, you know, ghosts and aliens? And I mean, did any of that stuff come into your cosmology when you were growing up?
Not a whole lot of that, other than, I mean, I grew up in a Pentecostal church. And if you're not, I mean, you grew up Presbyterian, you know, unless you went to a Pentecostal
right.
church, you really are not necessarily sure of what that means. But I mean, paranormal and supernatural are similar words. But given the context, paranormal would have been a negative, but, you know, people would speak in tongues and give interpretation of tongues and run the aisles and roll on the floor and dance in the spirit, that kind of thing. Now, we couldn't go out. We were so conservative, we couldn't go out dancing anywhere and dance with each other, but you could dance at church with, in the spirit. And that was a little confusing as a child, but I understood the supernatural power outside of our bodies that made something inside. I mean, it was, you know, sometimes it was when singing was happening, sometimes it was when preaching was happening, but all of a sudden it was like the room was just electrified. And everybody in the room, you were almost scared to move, and at the same time, you couldn't be still because there was so much electrified energy in the room. And that's what we called the spirit moving. And I've even seen that even physically. I've been in a service where there was, when the spirit started moving, it looked like, you know what, before they quit letting people or started making people go outside to smoke at bars, you know how the room, a smoke-filled room, looks, this blue haze all the way through?
Yeah.
This blue.
Yeah, fog. Sure.
I have seen that in church where it was, the spirit was so thick, it was like a blue haze all the way through the atmosphere. And it was just an amazing phenomenon. And so I grew up with this idea of what the spirit was and feeling what I call Holy Ghost goose pimples every time those events would happen at church. And yet, I have to remember how old I am now. I am, you know, I'm a baby boomer. And so I also grew up with Elizabeth Montgomery as Bewitched, you know. And so I understood that there was this kind of witchcraft out there, but it was not, you know, with that show, it kind of helped me see, oh, well, that's not a bad thing. She only helps people and does good things. And then, of course, we heard, I grew up with The Wizard of Oz, and so I knew there were good witches and bad witches, and, you know, the good always triumphs over the evil. And so I kind of had this childlike mentality of outside paranormal stuff, but then we also heard of UFOs. And I think I actually saw a UFO one time, and I was afraid to tell anybody. You know, it's not common knowledge that Keith was driving home one night. I was like 16, 17 years old, and I was driving home, and I see these lights just coming down out of the sky into a field, and I'm just like spellbound, sitting at a stop sign and watching it there, and then it not be there anymore, and there not be any signs of it. So, you know, I have always had this idea that there was something going on in the spirit world beyond what we can see, but at times willing to step into the natural or at least exhibit into the natural world or interrupt the natural flow of things. Because I've also seen things like, and experienced myself, what we call divine healing, where things that the doctors could not explain. So you would have to, you have to, well, something supernatural had to happen. And for me, that has been so that the supernatural sometimes interrupts the natural and changes everything. And so that's what I grew up in, and I have always had this experience of understanding that God is supernatural and that the spirit of God is supernatural. But it's not just something outside of us. And I'm glad that I did learn this part in Pentecostal church, that the spirit of God is also inside of us. And sometimes what we're feeling, that those, what I call the Holy Ghost goose pimples, is that, you know, that side of us manifesting, that's touching our body as well. So I've always had this idea of the supernatural and outside, but I never, you know, I was never around anybody much that practiced any other kind of faith other than Christianity. If I was around any Jews as a child, I don't know it. They never let it be known. Catholics, we considered that a cult. because we thought they worshiped statues and
right,
Mary.
And mm-hmm.
They equated
mm-hmm.
Mary with Jesus, and so we were totally against that. But I actually had a classmate that was Catholic, and she never talked about her faith very much, but I also, or her church, but I also liked her and couldn't figure out what was any different about her than me. And it really wasn't until I was college age that I started meeting people of other faiths and started realizing, you know, here's the thing, though, Sheena. Here's the advantage that I had. Notice how I worded that. The advantage that I had, which certainly did not seem like an advantage at the time, was that I was harboring a secret. I was gay, and I still am gay, but I was gay, but that was not acceptable in the church. And
right.
So I understood that God loved me in spite of what the church said. So I was already
right.
different than the others in the church. I knew that I didn't fit the mold 100%. So I look back at it now and see that was in my favor because it helped me to be accepting of other people that were outside of that faith that I grew up in. And now that I've grown, you know, through the years and I have been involved with interfaith groups through the years, and then, of course, it was one of our own MCC Christian pastors or preachers that introduced you and me, Steve Peters,
yes.
Reverend Steve Peters.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had faith enough in Steve Peters that he wasn't going to take me to introduce me to somebody that was going to lead me off in some weird place. And I'm not
right.
even sure what weird is more, but that's beside the point. But here's the thing that I want to make sure that I say before I leave this conversation tonight. Sometimes people will say, but now that you are more universal in thought, now that you are more open to the paranormal, you're open to other language for some of the same things that happened with you, why are you still in a Christian church and why do you still lay claim to Christianity, especially when Christianity has been so bent and misused, in my own opinion, through the years? And what I say to that is this: my relationship with God is my relationship with God. And yes, I found it that way, and maybe it's because it's just easier. Maybe it's because I know the language and I can use that language to connect. Not that I always use that language because I'm learning other new language, but it doesn't bother me to connect with God in other ways, and it doesn't bother me to stay in a religion that has been misrepresented and has been construed and Lord knows, just completely rerung. I have family and friends back home that I think, Lord have mercy. How did we grow up in the same church and we believe so differently about what Christianity is and what the real teachings of Jesus? Here's the thing.
Yeah.
With all of the world religions, I believe that there have been great prophets, such as Jesus himself, who have come and
mm-hmm.
they all teach basically the same thing. And when it all boils
yeah.
down, it's really that we love each other, that we really love each other and treat each other with love
absolutely.
And respect. That's
absolutely.
The bottom line
absolutely.
Of all true faith. Now, it may not be of
absolutely.
All religion,
yeah.
but it is of all true faith.
I
and
believe,
so it
and
doesn't
I talk about this.
Me. Go ahead.
I talk about this during my Saturday night spiritual sermons a lot, right? That to me, the
yes,
New Testament
yes,
breaks
absolutely.
Down to three words: community, connection, and love. To me, everything Jesus
yes.
said could be broken down into those three categories: community, connection, and love. And that's what all faiths should be based on. Not always, but they should.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I want to say a couple things. First of all, my mom sort of raised me that Jesus was like the coolest metaphysician there was. Like he was the
mm-hmm.
like a healer, and that like it, to me, I think if Jesus was alive today, like I could take him to the crystal shop and we could hang out and meditate, burn a little incense, and I'm sure
right.
there's people now completely freaking out that I said that. But to me, Jesus, there was something very metaphysical at the nature of the way that Jesus spoke and the way that he walked his walk. The other thing he said interesting about all the prophets saying the same thing, my mother believed, and I think it's an interesting take, that there was a Christ spirit and that the Christ spirit came onto the earth to do work when it needed to be done and then disappeared and came back again
right.
the next time when the work, and oftentimes
right.
died as a martyr. And that could be said for Jesus. It could be said for Buddha, right? It could be said for Gandhi. It could be said for Martin Luther King. It could be said for Harvey Milk. And and I always kind of thought that was really out there until I watched the Abraham Lincoln movie, Lincoln. And I, you know, I'm a big Lincoln nut. I came out of the box obsessed with Lincoln. As a toddler, when kids wanted to go to Legoland, I wanted to go see where Lincoln was shot. And it was very interesting. I guess I hadn't thought about it like this because of the small window of time that that movie focused on, that he really pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed to get the Emancipation Proclamation pushed through. And then as soon as it was done, he was killed. And it made me think about what my mom had always said, that maybe there is an essence. Maybe spirit sends down this energy to be incarnate in different people when something needs to be done for the world and the world needs to be shown, hey, we're going in a really bad direction and this is what we should
right.
be doing. This is how man should be living. And then as soon as the purpose is done, boom, they're gone. And it's interesting if you think about who we consider to be prophets and who we consider to be our historic martyrs, right? And how often that's the same lesson over and over again, that spirit sends this person down to do a specific thing. And to me, the story of Christ is so much about how he was sent here to do this specific thing. And I guess it could be said, well, how much more could he have done if he had not died so young? And that's the truth, except that doesn't seem to be how it works with a lot of the times
right.
that people come to do this work and then become martyred. And it's what a lot of the saints are based on, right? And it's funny because to me, growing up Presbyterian and Irish, it's a little bit like, you know, growing up an albino leopard. It's interesting because my father was raised Catholic and my mother was raised first Southern Methodist. And then when she was adopted, Presbyterian. So it's the Catholic side, because they didn't like the fact that my father had been divorced and remarried. They were not really digging my mom being the second wife. And even though it was years after he got divorced, still, it was a thing. And I didn't spend a whole lot of time with the Catholic relatives. So I sort of rediscovered Catholicism as I was discovering my Irish heritage when I was in college. And because my mother had been raised very poor in an Irish ghetto in Louisville, Kentucky, and had been adopted by my grandmother was a daughter of the Mayflower. So they were my grandmother was very British. And my grandfather uh-huh. was very half Irish and half Jewish, but hid both of them and just said, yeah, I'm whatever she is. So, you know, he kind of threw his ethnicity away and everything was
what?
Very Protestant, English heritage, Anglophile. So my mom sort of hid her Irishness and didn't really recapture her pride in being Irish until I went through that big thing when I started college. And that was when I rediscovered Catholicism, which, by the way, I love. I am by no means a Catholic, but you might not know it to look at my altar, because I love saints. I think the story of the miraculous things they did on the earth are fascinating. The fact that
sure.
here were people that in many cases, like Buddha, right, were just living their lives. And then one day thought, you know what? I need to go into service. Spirit steps in and says, now your time for service. And suddenly they become activated and their lives change. And I love that about Catholicism. And also I love the mysticism of Catholicism. I love the incense and the stained glass windows and the pomp and the circumstance and the, to me, there's something almost kind of pagan in a way about Catholicism in the way that it's so mystic. Even the Pentecostal church, right? There's a mysticism in there, in the Holy Spirit and people
oh,
flailing
absolutely.
Around. And It's almost like a pagan ritual in a way, or like a Native American peyote ceremony in a way. I mean, I think the more that we see the religions of the world as the same, the better we're all going to get along, right? And that's the thing that I like about MCC, about the denomination, and about the Founders Church, and how you have helped to sculpt that and change it since you've been there. I mean, MCC has always been what my mama called a y'all come church, right? Everybody's always been welcome, no matter who they were. But like right. I talked about at my last service a couple of weeks ago, most folks there are predominantly Christian. And many of them, because, you know, the church was founded by gay folks, many of them fighting so hard to be Christian, despite so many Christian religions telling them they couldn't belong because they were part of the right. LGBTQ plus community. So right. I think it's amazing that I have been so embraced in all my interfaithness. And I think, and I tell the story all the time, right, that whenever we have like a sit-down food thing, which, you know, hopefully that'll come back after COVID, somebody always, you know, people come up to me and sit next to me and whisper in my ear, like, I like reincarnation, or I like incense, because I think that people basically want to know it's okay to like whatever they like, but religion has told them, no, you have to either be this or this thing or that thing or this thing. And I understand in ancient times that was how religions created community, which kept the religions funded and functioning and flourishing. But we live in a much different world now, and I think that it's
right.
been very wonderful that you have been very embracing of people who call themselves Christians to also be allowed to believe in other things that aren't necessarily Christian.
Well, I haven't always been that way. And don't credit
yeah.
me for what I've done here at MCC, because this church was a lot more progressive than I was even when I got here. So they have helped me. They have helped me. Now, I was way too progressive for the South, I must tell you. Even the MCCs in the South are generally a little more conservative than here on the West Coast and up maybe on the East Coast, New York City, that kind of thing. But that's the thing. We don't dictate what you have to be. And by the way, let me compliment your mother. Your mother summed up the whole study of Christology in one sentence. And I just love that all of these people, these prophets, come when the world needs them. And I want to share one other thing with you. When I was pastoring in Baton Rouge, one of the first things that one of the older members said to me, and it was a straight woman, she and her husband were members of the church there, had been for years, and she said, Pastor, I would really like for us to be a part of the Interfaith Federation here in Baton Rouge. And I said, okay, let's go check it out. So we did, and I just fell in love with all of these wonderful people, and we would have these great meetings, and those little Muslim women just loved us gay boys. I was like, what in the world? Why don't we not? I thought these people were trying to kill us all. No, they're not. And it was amazing how they just embraced, all the interfaith folks just seemed to embrace each other. But one night we had a meeting over at the Baha'i Worship Center. Have you heard of the Baha'i faith?
Yes. Yes, I have. Yes.
Okay. It's the B'HAI, Baha'i faith.
Yeah.
And I don't know much about, I really don't know much about them. And so we the interfaith folks went over there for a meeting one night. And it was really, it was around some holiday, and they were going to have food for us that were predominant for that holiday in the Baha'i faith. Well, what we learned that night was two things. One is they don't have any particular foods for any particular holidays. They just cooked and we ate, and it was great. So there was that. But the second thing was this. While the meeting part was going on, I noticed up on the wall there was this huge, huge poster. And I wish I took a picture of it, and I wish I could find this poster to hang in my office. But on it was listed, it had three columns. On one column was the years, as in centuries ago and all of this. And it had, so it had the date, and then it had the religion, and then it had the prophet of that religion. And it showed how one sort of overlapped with another and how some rose to, you know, obviously there wasn't Christianity before Jesus.
Right.
So, you know, it was like, you know, 4 BC, they think he was born, and then you go 30 years later. So, you know, like 29 AD is when Christianity kind of started. And they're like, all of the, and then, you know, there were other religions, and some of them, like I said, overlapped with each other. But just as your mother explained to you, I had to get somebody from the Baha'i faith afterwards. I said, would you please explain this to me? And they said, because theirs was the last one on that particular chart. And they explained exactly what your mom did, that they believe the Christ comes through prophets and is shared with the world when the world needs it and when the world's going, as we say, to hell in a handbasket. You know, going in the wrong direction and needs to be guided back to their, what I would say now, be pointed back to their spiritual roots and their spiritual selves and be cognizant of that. But that person said to me, well, you know, and here's ours, and ours is bleeding over. You know, yours is Christian, and yours is bleeding over into ours. But your prophet died and, you know, went away, and then there's been a couple other prophets, Muhammad and Buddha, all, you know, all these prophets that came. But then here's ours, and they had the name of their prophet. I'm sorry, my dog here is barking outside.
That's okay.
That's your nephew, Fairfax. Okay,
yeah,
so
Fairfax.
Anyway, but they were, you know, and I said, well, then is yours the last prophet? You know, is that the prophet the world has been waiting for? And they said, oh, no. And I said, and that doesn't bother you? And they said, well, no, of course not, because it's bigger than us. It's about after our prophet goes, I mean, there'll be another prophet. And as long as the world continues there, we believe that God will raise up more and more prophets through the years. And maybe it's this religion or that religion. Maybe some of it will take on characteristics of others. Maybe some will even repeat themselves. But they'll be called something else. But it doesn't matter. All of it is about pointing us in the direction selves and with the higher power in whatever way we want to name that power, in whatever way we want to worship or not worship or be in relationship with. And that was such a powerful epiphany for me that night. And I think your mother just said it like, it took me 10 minutes to say that, but it only took her one sentence. But she understood that Christology is not about just, you know, for me, I was taught that Jesus is the way, and even Christianity, I mean, our holy book, I forgot, there was a fourth column on there. On the fourth column was the holy book that each religion used if they had one. And you know, ours is the Bible. And so the Bible, you know, says that Jesus is the only way. And I grew up believing that Jesus is the only way to be in relationship with God. But what messed that up for me was when they would have the missionaries come every year from the foreign fields and do a pitch for what they were doing. And of course, everybody at church would make donations and we would pretty much pay their salary for the next year in whatever country they were going back to. But they would talk about these people that had never heard of Jesus. And I remember going to my parents and I'm like, I learned in Sunday school and I heard the preacher say that if you don't give your heart to Jesus, you can't go to heaven and you can't know God. You can't really know who God is, and you can't be in relationship with God if you don't go through Jesus. But these people have never heard of Jesus. So what happened to all of the people that died that never heard of Jesus?
Right.
And nobody ever had an answer for me. Nobody had an answer for me. So I'm just going to tell you that as much as people want to tout their own religion, me included, any of us that want to tout, any organized religion is not perfect. You're going to find faults with it. You're going to find flaws with it. But the good news is that it's not about the organized religion. It's about our relationship with God and our relationship with each other and being really in
Absolutely.
Tune with our spiritual self.
Truly just one religion, right? If we all just are spiritually in this together, right? And everything is all the same, and Bigfoot and aliens and anything that walks in the light falls under the umbrella of Source, let's call it. And it's the higher power of everyone. Then who's to say if they could pick somebody with as humble beginnings as Jesus to be a prophet, or somebody with as lavish beginnings as Buddha to be a prophet, then who's to say it couldn't also be Abraham Lincoln, certainly humble beginnings, or Gandhi, or any of these people, right? Who's to say that spirit doesn't pop in? And because what I think all of these figures have in common is that they are just pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing for one agenda that frees humanity.
Right.
And as soon as that thing happens, they're gone. And maybe it's because the Christ spirit's got to go somewhere else. You can only have it for so long.
Absolutely.
You know,
compare the letters that Martin Luther King wrote from Birmingham jail with the letters that the Apostle Paul wrote from jail to the different churches, and now it's canonized into what we call scripture.
Exactly. Right.
But they're both scripture. They're both scripture.
Yeah.
Canonized or not, they're both scripture. They're here to point us to better ourselves, better our relationships with each other.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then that comes into play the paranormal stuff I was talking about earlier, right? If God made Christians and Jewish people and Muslims and metaphysical people and atheists and everything, right, then doesn't it make sense that God didn't just create the earth, as the Bible says? God created the universe. And in creating the universe, also created the Loch Ness Monster and Chupacabra and the Jersey Devil and earth spirits and leprechauns and fairies. And why is that not possibly all possible? People say, well, we don't have any proof. Well, there was no proof that giant squid existed until just recently. Giant squid was thought of as a sea monster from folklore, not an actual thing, until one day somebody pulled up this big old honking squid, and now it's a thing. So every day, as we learn to delve deeper and deeper into the ocean because of technology, we're finding more species of fish that we had no idea it existed, with all kinds of crazy stuff. They glow in the dark and, I mean, all kinds of stuff, because we don't really know more things than heaven and earth, as it said, right? We don't really know what exists here, and we certainly don't know what exists out there or over there or beyond there. And I remember once my mom went to this very renowned psychic. I want to say she was Regis Philbin psychic. My mom did go to that psychic, but I'm not sure if it was the same one. My mom had to wait like a year and some to get on the list to see this woman. And she goes to see her in San Diego, and I think she's about, 6,000 years old. And she tells my mom, "You think you're from up there, but you're actually from out there." And, for a little Depression-era kid from Louisville, Kentucky, even with all the Edgar Cayce she read, she came home and she was like, it was mind-blowing to her, this idea that maybe everybody didn't come from the same place. Maybe everybody doesn't go the same place when they pass under the umbrella of what Source has created. Therefore, we should all feel like we are more the same than different, right? And I think that is so important, in the same way that, to me, if Jesus was alive, if all of them were alive, right, couldn't you see Jesus sitting down and having a talk with Lincoln and Martin Luther King and Harvey Milk and Joan of Arc and I mean, there's just no reason that all of them couldn't have hung together. So I
Absolutely.
Think it's the lesson is to think of everyone as the same and less as different. And that includes maybe things that are not necessarily incarnate earth beings, because we just don't know, right? And if you don't know, you shouldn't say you know.
Right. Absolutely.
Now, have you
right.
ever in your spiritual life, have you ever seen something that you thought might have been a ghost?
Yes. Well, let me say this. Two things on that. One that I thought is this. I don't think I've actually seen a ghost. If I have, I didn't know I was looking at it. I'm not saying it was impossible. I'm just saying I didn't recognize it as a ghost. There have been a few times that I've been awakened at an odd time, and I felt a presence and didn't know how to explain it, only to find out that someone close to me had passed away in that moment. And I
yeah.
wondered if it was waking me up just to go past me on the way, even though I didn't hear them and all of that. But I will tell you about this night in when I was in college. So I was around 19 years old, maybe 20 years old. And I had been to church, and during that church service, the pastor's wife, the parsonage of the church was right next door to the church, and the pastor's wife would go over to the church every day for her prayer time. To be away from the house and the phone and all of that, she would go to the church, and she would go in the sanctuary and just pray. And so she got up in church one night to tell us about an experience she had earlier in the week, that she had been over in the sanctuary of the church, and she was praying. And she got ready to leave the church after she had been praying, and she had felt a particular closeness to God in that prayer time, that it had been a real Pentecostal experience. And I guess she also had been really laying her heart out to God about something that she was going through. And she said that as she got to the back of the church to walk out the door, she heard a voice say, "Turn around." And when she turned around and looked in the room, she said the sanctuary was full of angels. They were hovering up in the air. And she said they were just rejoicing. They were just praising God and rejoicing and singing. And there was the most beautiful music she had ever heard. And, of course, her burden, whatever it was lifted in that moment, and she knew that everything was going to be all right. And even as she got up and told it, she had this deep, manly voice. I think her voice was lower than her husband. But she had this deep, and as she, it, her voice was like you think of the male voice of God. It was like thunder. Her voice was like thunder in that room as she told us. And it was like we could all see angels, even though we really didn't. But I remember as I was driving home that night, I started praying. And I made it part of my prayer for the next few weeks. And I said, "God, if you can," we called each other brother and sister in the Church of God. And her last name was Baldwin, so we called her Sister Baldwin. Not to be a sister as in the nuns, but as Pentecostal brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
So I remember saying, "God, if you can let Sister Baldwin see angels, I don't know why you love her more than you love me. Why can't you let me see angels? I want to see angels too." Well, you know, that went for a few weeks. I had that on my mind, and then I kind of let it go. So one night I was driving home from church, and there were several ways to go, and one was sort of the back country roads, which had less traffic. And I was driving home one night, and I was on this dark country road, and as I was driving, there was a little bridge up ahead, and I saw a person standing on the bridge. And I thought to myself, you know, that's a dangerous place to be, because it was a very narrow bridge. There really was only enough room on that bridge for two vehicles to pass each other. There wasn't any even sidewalk room for somebody to be on the bridge. So I slowed down. Thought I'm going to have to stop to let that person cross. And what are they doing on out on this dark road? Well, as I got all the way to the bridge, when I got there, there was nobody on the bridge. It was like they disappeared. And I was like, well, what in the world? Am I seeing things? That just makes no sense. I know that there was somebody on the bridge. So I drove on, you know, kind of wondering about that. And then I saw a mailbox, and there was a person standing beside the mailbox. And I thought, man, you shouldn't be out here this late at night going to the mailbox. I mean, the mailbox was right beside the street. Somebody could hit you. And when I got right up to the mailbox, there was no one there. It disappeared. And I don't mean it moved into the darkness somewhere I couldn't see. It didn't move. It just was there 1 second, and it wasn't there the next. And I thought, well, this is just bizarre. That's two people I've seen. And I stopped, and I immediately remembered my prayer. And I said, angels, I got to see angels. And I never saw any more after that. I knew what I was looking at. And I was like, God, you know, just because I know what it is doesn't mean you can't let me see it again. I'd be happy to see more angels. But I knew that God had answered my prayer. I knew that I had seen angels. And it said to me, you know, there's a scripture about watch how you treat people, because sometimes we're treating angels, that God sends undercover angels. And I'm like, oh, so there were angels there. And God let me see them. Now, mine were not as fantastic in some ways as Sister Baldwin's were, because hers were singing and rejoicing and floating in the air. And mine looked like human beings until I got right up on them. I'm sure that I've seen a ghost, but I've seen angels. Does that count?
It absolutely counts. Yeah. So I'll tell you my angel encounter. So I had these psychics that I did some stuff with, and they were very into there is no God, God is aliens, which has never been my belief system, but, you know, I respect anybody's right, whatever floats your boat, right? So they became very involved with wanting to do seances where we were trying to contact ETs. And two very bizarre things happened, and neither time do I think it had anything to do with ETs. The first time we met with a friend of mine who I was introducing them to, who was a channeler, and they wanted her to channel an ET. And I don't know what she channeled, but I believe it was more universal source than something alien. So it took her a very long time to, and she said in this very strange voice, well, it's hard to speak in a human voice when you've never been in a human's body before, and you don't really know what a human voice is, and then proceeded to speak. And ask us all to ask a question. I didn't ask a question because I never ask questions in situations like that. And they were all asking questions like, are we going to get a TV show? And, you know, the really deep stuff. And it looked at me and it said, you. And I said, I turned around, I said, you universal or me? And it said, you. You just keep coming back. We keep telling you, you don't have to come, but you just keep coming back. And the weird thing was that was the joke my mom and I had, because my mom was a 9 in numerology. And her whole thing was 9 is completion. I'm done. And I'm never coming back. I love you. I will haunt you, but I am never coming back. And I would always say, oh, I would totally come back again. And even with my friends that are like, life is so hard. And I'm like, yeah. And I've had my share of stuff in my life. Still, I'm going to come back. So for them to say that. So the second weird thing about that encounter was about a week later, I went to Sedona. My friends were throwing a conference up there. And one of their keynote speakers was Jean Houston, who's a very famous metaphysician. She helped Hillary Clinton to write her It Takes a Village book. And she's very known for her voices being completely on. And I love, she did Irish accents throughout the years, and they were all perfect in the midst of this speaking engagement in Sedona. So one of the stories that she told was that as a Girl Scout, her troop went to go meet Helen Keller. And she said, it's the weirdest thing to hear someone speak who's never heard a human voice. And then she recreated her conversation with Helen Keller, and that voice sounded exactly like the voice of the channeled being. And that was when I knew, you know, that my friend was for real, and that I was kind of shaken in Sedona a little bit, because it scared me to think that maybe, because we're taught when we're young, no matter what religion you grew up in or what you grew up in, you're taught that you can't have access to those kinds of beings, to angels, to universal beings, to whatever it is, right? Guides. So the second time with these same wacky people, about 6 months later, they wanted to contact aliens again. We went to a friend's house to do a seance, and eight of us were all psychic mediums. And the idea was to open the hole, the channel, to put a hole in, you know, to open a hole in the channel and hold down that space for the aliens to come and talk to us. So somebody opens it up, somebody's grounding, somebody opens the veil, everyone's holding hands, people are chanting. All of a sudden, Keith, this thing lands on the roof. And it felt like somebody had landed a jet on the roof of this house. Mm. And the first thing I thought was, this is not an alien. This thing's presence was so huge, and I believe it was angelic. It was so enormous that I thought the roof was going to cave in. And it was so gentle and so angry at the same time. And its messages were just about, it was kind of, I used to always say, the messages could be summed up with, don't make us come back there. But the message was very much, why? Why, people, why? Why do you put hate where there should be love? Why do you put ego where there should be openness? Why do you put hatred and bigotry where there should only be acceptance, community? And really, we're trying not to come back and fix this ourselves, and we're hoping you're going to do it. But we're not really seeing a lot of progress right now. Right. And that was one of the most in tune and terrifying nights of my life. And I literally walked out of that house in the Hollywood Hills, and you know, you go to the Hollywood Hills and overnight it's like dead. It's like nobody ever lived there. And I'm like looking around and I'm like, is it going to come back? Is it going to land on the street? But, you know, so what if, so go with me and suspend your disbelief if you're listening. And what if that was an angelic, and what if that is, you know, kind of what they think, like, look, you have been given all of these gifts to have a wonderful growing, learning, teaching experience here on this teaching planet. And you're just throwing it away with all this low ego stuff, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't even tell. I mean, I don't blame this being for being angry. I don't blame angels for being angry, because part of the message was about how we haven't taken care of the earth. I mean, the whole, like, why? And the being was just sort of like, we don't understand why. And when you think about it, my mama used to always say, it's just as easy to be nice, right? I mean, it is just as easy to take care of the world, to take care of each other, to take care of our animal companions. It's just as easy to do the right thing. Yet we go to great lengths to live in a place where we create selfishness and narcissism and bitterness and unwarranted
and greed.
Fear, you know,
and
why?
Greed.
Why? And greed. Greed and jealousy. Those are two of the worst.
Why? They are.
I mean, just let everybody be who they are and let everybody live in love together, or I'm serious, these things are going to come back and whoop all our butts. And all I could think of was in the Bible, right? And again, I didn't grow up in the Bible like you did, but there's some instances in the Old Testament, right, where God just says, you know what, this got to stop. This is too much.
Yeah.
And then what happens? The armed forces, the angels, right, the special ops get deployed. You know, God, in essence, releases the Kraken. And here they come. And, you know, it's we don't want that to happen. I don't think spirit wants to do that. I don't think the angels want to come and do that. But we got to get it together and come from a place of love. Or we're all going to wind up pillars of salt. You know, was that too Old Testament fire and brimstone for you, my friend?
No. And I started to say, and deservedly so.
Yes, exactly. I would rather be a pillar of pepper, but maybe that's not an option.
Yeah, some
you
of us are
so
a little
wonderful,
salty.
My friend. Yeah, you're more salty. I can see you being the salt.
I can be a little salty, yeah. But
It's such a pleasure to have you here, my friend. I'm sorry?
It's a pleasure having you in my life, and thank you for your teachings, and thank you for being my friend, and thank you for teaching me.
Yes, and you me, my friend. Thank you so much. Every time I say something remotely Christian in my sermons, I think, oh, God, I hope I get this right for Keith.
About getting it right. It's about giving us your heart, and that's all that matters.
And that I do. And that I do, 100%. I just don't want to take liberties with the Bible that I don't know about. And that I do, my friend. I am so honored to be pastored with you at the Founders, in the MCC Church, in our little Founders Church, with you and Reverend Alejandro and Reverend Steve and Reverend Lucia and all the other wonderful pastors. I cannot tell you how this has changed my life and what an honor it is to be in service alongside you, my friend.
Well, we feel the same way.
Where can people find you and find out about Founders MCC and maybe when the world opens up again, come visit us? If not, guess what? We're always online and you can visit us from around the world.
That's right. So they can go to the website, which is foundersmcc.org. That's M as in Metropolitan, CC, Community Church, foundersmcc.org. That's our website. Or if they just want to watch the services, they can go to YouTube. We have our own TV channel on YouTube, which is MCCLA-TV. As in Metropolitan Community Church, Los Angeles Television. So MCCLA-TV.
Beautiful.
On YouTube.
And you can. Thank you, my friend. Thank you so much for being here. I adore you, and I'm so proud to be a part of this church. And you can find my service at SaturdayNightSpiritual.com. And of course, you can find out everything about me at SheenaMetalSpiritual.com. And this show, hauntedplayground.com, and this wonderful channel that I work for, liveparanormal.com. I'm here every Wednesday with the Haunted Playground radio show, 6 o'clock Pacific time. I do 3 video shows for Haunted Playground. Tuesday nights, IamRaisingYourVibration.com. Wednesday nights, Haunted Playground After Dark. That's tonight, 9 o'clock Pacific time. Tuesday, 9 o'clock Pacific time, hauntedplayground.com. Friday nights, I do the Soulmate Experience with my very own soulmate, the wonderful Lynn Arney, at yoursoulmateexperience.com. All the video shows are at 9 o'clock, and this show at 6 o'clock on Wednesdays. Till I see you next time, my friends, seek peace, live in love, lead with kindness, embrace unity, and always and forever raise your vibration. I'm Sheena Metal. I'm a psychic medium, an interfaith minister, the founder of RaisingTheVibration.org, my website, SheenaMetalSpiritual.com. Yes, I do readings and healings and clearings and cleansings. To find out more about that, you can go to SheenaMetalReadings.com or find me at SheenaMetalSpiritual.com or send me a text message, 818-437-0886. I'll see you next time. I love you, Life Paranormal. Thanks for having me here. Have a good week.